Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Thanks so much for tuning in right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here. We thought we'd give you, on today's special episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos, a taste of what we do here at the Pop Culture Cosmos when it comes to tabletop RPG action. We always talk about it on each and every episode. Belinda always talks about it. She brings on her husband, Robbie Ross, and he always talks about it. I always advertise it for the crew. I thought we would go ahead and give you a taste of some of the great RPG action that comes your way each and every week from our friends of the Pop Culture Cosmos, and also that you can find from time to time at Pop Culture Cosmos on Facebook as well. So today's show is dedicated to tabletop RPG action. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce our first tabletop RPG that you can get a taste of right now on the Pop Culture Cosmos YouTube channel. It is the initial episode of Vaesen. Thanks to our friends from Freely Publishing, because if it weren't for them, you wouldn't be getting a hold of some of this great action from Vaesen.
Okay, so hi, Pop Culture Cosmos. I'm Melinda Barkhouse Ross, one of the co-hosts for the Pop Culture Cosmos Multiverse. And as you know, Gerald and I have been talking for a while about this generous gift that Free League Publishing has given to us. They've given us 12 games to sit down at a table and have a bit of fun with. And we did start Lord of the Rings a while ago. We are going to get back to that at some point. It's just scheduling has proven to be a little bit trickier than we expected at first. But today, we are going to delve into the world of Vaesen. And I hear people talk and say it a lot of different ways. Vaesen, Vaesen. There's a bunch of them. We're just going to go with Vaesen.
Vaesen?
Yeah. For...
because Free League is from...
the Nordic countries.
Yeah.
I want to say Switzerland, but it could be Finland, and I don't want to insult either. So Scandinavia over that way.
I mean, up there ways.
Yeah.
At least it's not Vaesen.
Well, it could be.
It could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Could be. Anyway, it's a Nordic horror role-playing game. It runs on a D6 system. And we're going to go through character creation today. And it's going to be painstaking character creation because... this game is a perfect game to, I think, get some really great roleplay out of your table. And if you have a table that relies on combat and stuff like that to get through a session, and you want to kind of start to evoke and spark a little bit more creativity when it comes to roleplay at your table, picking up one of these games might help you with that. They're pretty easy to run on the surface, and if like everything else, you can drill down and get into as many rules and make it as crunchy as you want to. Yeah. So the version that we're going to run is going to be pretty clean. It's going to be pretty simple, because that's how I like it. I don't like complicated games.
Oh, absolutely. But what I like so far about, I don't know if they're all, I've not checked out all 12 games, but Forbidden Lands is very similar with both the combat system and that it's player driven.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool break from your traditional Dungeons & Dragons, which is going to be a really DM-heavy, notebook, modules kind of thing. It really puts a lot more into the hands of the players, which I think is... sometimes you need that,
Absolutely.
Especially if you have a DM that's like, I don't want to do 6 hours of prep.
Yeah.
I think Forbidden Lands is you do like 15 to 30 minutes of prep time. That's it.
And then let the characters run.
Yeah, and... honestly, love that.
Yeah, I think it's really fun.
I don't know the name of the one I was looking at.
Into the Loop? Tales from the Loop?
Tales from the Loop.
Yes, that is one.
Yeah, I like that one.
And that one is set in the 1980s. Character deaths are very difficult in that game, which is interesting and different than Forbidden Lands, right? It's kind of easy in Forbidden Lands.
Yes and no. It's easy to become incapacitated. It is harder to die.
Okay.
So it really, I think what it wants to do is show you that you will be punished for having too much hubris, but it will not outright kill you.
Sure.
Sometimes. It could.
Right.
Tales from the Loop actually comes right out and says you won't die.
Interesting.
Lord of the Rings has the same kind of feel to it. You're a hero... Baltimore is the weird.
yeah. No, it's all good stuff. So we are taking on Vason today, and we're just going to do some character creation stuff and go over a little bit of what we can expect to face when we come back to the table next Sunday and actually start to get into the game and roll some dice and stuff. So first, I think we should probably go around the table and introduce our players. I feel like we haven't done that in a really long time. If you're familiar with us from Vampires and Vitae or Wizards and Wine, we kind of set it up and then we just go. We might as well start from zero today. So I'm going to start here with Roger. Raj, just introduce yourself. Let us know who you are. And just give me like an idea of like your top two favorite archetypes that you're looking at for Vason.
I already picked it.
Oh, you've already picked it.
Okay. I've got the top portion already filled out.
Cool.
I told you that'd take me long. So, yeah, I've been playing RPGs, started with Dungeons & Dragons back in 1980.
Because you got the ancient one.
1981, 1982, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was the original one that was just scribbled on stones.
Do not resend the text to me. I was there when they were written.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah, I've played a lot of different RPGs over the years, and played more in the last 3 years than I did almost through all of my teenage years.
Right, it's wild, yeah. It's fun.
But, yeah, really enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to running my own one of these at some point.
For sure. What archetype, sorry?
I'm going with Occultist.
Hello, I am Sean. I've been doing this for like a week now.
Untrue. Untrue.
Like. Day three.
It's been like a year,
man. I'm still the new guy. It doesn't matter.
Bro, you built some really cool characters.
So I'm still new to this. I like the differences between the games that we've played so far. So this is nice that this is going to be similar to that. There's going to be a change. And I'm just curious to see how it works. I'm looking at being a doctor.
Nice.
Because doctors are cool. And so are bow ties.
So bow ties. Fezes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Robbie?
I've had the luxury of having all but Sean run a game for me here at this table.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, yeah. Sean, you're up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you want to trade real now? Thing? Or?
Well, when you said that this kind of run itself, I was like, what?
Really? No, truly, this seems like a Freeling seems to be really forgiving and when it comes to getting new players into the seat as opposed to having giant manuals, you know.
Yeah, there's not. You don't need to carry three books with you to run this game. Yeah,
That's some of the enjoyment I think for this. I think the archetype and the voice and the actual character itself will carry the game, which I find very interesting and engaging. The luxury I think I have at this table is that I just adore and love everyone at this table, and I think we can do some really cool stuff with it because if that's the meat and potatoes of working out the ideas in between everybody. I think that is going to be very interesting and super useful for other things I'm going to use in the future. I am playing a tramp, hobo.
Vagabond is what they call it in the game, not tramp for the record. Somebody in Freeling just went, we got tramps?
I mean,
he's going to be one of those toreadors.
Yeah. I'm an officer, I'm a lieutenant, private.
That's great.
I'll be a nurse.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay, so let's start and kind of dig into some of these archetypes.
I'm writing tramp at the top of my thing.
Then you're going to forget what you are.
Right? Unless you name your character tramp.
Yeah, right.
Just saying.
Yeah. I haven't picked a name yet. Have you guys picked a name?
Oh, yeah.
What's your name?
Beaumont Reed. It's my grandson's name.
Got one? I don't have one.
Albert Grimshaw.
Ooh.
It is a name.
You got one yet?
Which probably belongs to somebody historically. I don't know.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't know if I can just say the doctor. But no, I don't know yet.
You could call yourself who?
Nah. I'm
just going to call you Doc.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen anyways.
Yeah, just put that down on your sheet. Yeah,
Doc.
Doc, yeah.
Done. Okay. Yeah, just put quotes.
Has a name. Doc. We've all forgotten it at this point.
Nobody knows it. Really, John Smith.
Yeah. I will give you guys a heads up, though. We are, when we do sit down to start the actual adventure, we are sitting down at the table like you all know each other. So keep that in mind. And you've been working together at this point as a team. for a little while. So
it's not our first rodeo.
Exactly. Yeah. So keep that in mind when you're doing your character creation stuff, and try to find ways to connect all of your characters. Like Robbie, you should have the connections to each one. Tyler, you should have connection to everybody. I just kind of want to set it up that way. Yeah. I think that's going to help with RP as well when we sit down. It's good that, you know, like characters can have inside jokes right off the bat. I think that's always a good way to take it and roll with it. And Sean snickers beside me.
Because I've already got inside jokes.
he's got his own inside jokes inside his head.
Is it weird that I've named my dog but not myself?
No, that's not weird at all. Knowing you,
is your dog named Doug?
No,
Connery.
Also awesome shows.
All right. So there are a couple of things for you to make decisions about when you first start to build your character in Vaesen. First is your archetype. We're going to look at the occultist first for Roger. You've got your name. They do make some suggestions. You do need to choose a motivation. Each archetype has three different like motivation. You're going to pick a trauma, you're going to pick a dark secret. So there's always three options there. You're more than welcome to absolutely come up with your own. So if none of these look like they fit what you're kind of thinking in your head, just jot one down for now, and then we can talk through the week before we come back to the table to really kind of nail something down.
What I thought was cool is I read pretty much all of these, and they are all different.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel recycled.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know,
it's not like with D&D, with their suggestions, it's a little the same thing.
It's a little more fleshed out, I think, you know, which is cool, especially for if you could make a character in 5 minutes if you really just wanted to
plow through it,
which is pretty cool.
So, Raj, your motivation, well, what are you thinking?
My motivation is learning about Vaesen.
Okay.
You want me to just go down the list? Because I picked all three already.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so we'll just go through, maybe for the sake of people who are watching, we should just kind of not talk about each one, but just list the three of them. So under motivation, you get learning about Vaesen, understanding myself, and power. So you're going with learning?
Yep.
Okay.
For the trauma, I picked the first one. Was hit by corrosive venom while trying to steal a lindworm egg. I don't know what the hell that is yet, but
yes,
it sounds interesting.
That is definitely, we'll explore the lindworm and make sure that you know.
And it gives me an interesting thing to do physically with my character.
No.
Because I get to decide where the corrosive venom hit. Was it my face that was scarred up? Was it my arms or whatever?
Right on the ankle.
Just the tip of my nose is gone.
Yeah, it's just taken away.
No. Just look right in.
It's just so smooth.
Oof. Oof. Okay.
Flat.
Each character gets a dark secret. So for this one, for the occultist, you get guilty of a heinous crime, my powers control me, or I'm actually a changeling.
I went with my own dark secrets of that one, and I'm guilty of a heinous crime.
Nice. Would any of the characters at the table or in your work group, we'll explain what all of that is about later, but would any of them would you have confessed your heinous crime to anybody, or is it just something that you're absolutely keeping to yourself?
I've been around, but like not in high society.
I think I might have confessed to somebody, but I don't know who yet because I don't know who else is.
Well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point too. And then relationships. So choose a relationship for each of the other player characters. Make up your own for the occultist.
We do 1-1-1-1 and then 2-2-2-2.
Yeah,
two,
I think
two,
so,
two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think once we have all of our characters,
then we can start
out,
to really draw.
Yeah, so that's the only part that I've got on mine so far, is just getting down to the dark secret.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, perfect. So, and then you get your main attributes, main skills, talents, resources, and equipment. But we can go over that. But for the occultist, you do get precision as your main attribute. So on your character sheet, your main attribute should be your highest score. And your main skill should also have your highest score. Because these are going to build your dice pools, just like we do in Vampire.
Right.
Where you have a skill and an attribute, and you combine them to make your dice
I haven't gotten far enough to even know how to do that.
Yeah.
So.
No problem. All right. And Tyler?
Yeah, I'm going to go with officer, a middle age.
Yes, you are.
I don't like that.
Welcome to the table.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Wait till you're past the pivot point.
So archetype officer.
And we should mention, too, that each of the people who belong to the society, which is kind of the operation that you guys all are employed by or work for or whatever, the reason why you're selecting a trauma is because it's the trauma that gave you the sight to be able to see the Vaesen. So just to clarify that for anybody that's watching. So that's why the trauma part of the character creation is important.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials?
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks so much for coming right back with us here. It's Gerald Glassford, the Pop Culture Cosmos. Our next awesome tabletop RPG is one that you've been hearing about for quite some time. It's the world famous, which you can catch right now on YouTube, Vampires and Vitae.
Welcome to Vampires and Vitae. Thank you so much for joining us at our table today. As we normally do, we're going to go through this table and say for the last time who you're playing at my table today. There's a weird little caveat. When I started this game, I told everyone that you shall be dying. There's going to be a TPK, people not in the know.
Oh, that's amazing for everybody who doesn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah, guess what, everyone?
Yeah, guess what?
Yep, this is the sad tragedy of the end. This is the idea of people that should have been the heroes of the world and just didn't get a chance. So, and and personally, I hate it because I thought this would be a little fun stint, but I've fallen in love with all of your characters.
Well, it was only supposed to be 6 weeks.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 6 months.
Yes. There's a lot of my games.
Has it actually been 6 months?
No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Rudolph.
No, because we were still in season one. I've lived here for 4 months and we were still in season two when I got here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's not quite that bad.
Well, I mean.
Sometime in September, we switched over to this.
Right. I've actually even went into my mind and like, how do I save them all? You can't. It's just the tragedy of vampire.
Yeah, so, we're all dead anyway. So what the hell? We're not actually dying.
Margie. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about Elise. It's the last time you're going to get to say anything about her.
No!
I know.
Break out that tissue.
I know. Yeah. I know. Woof. Yeah, this ends tonight, man. Last game of the campaign.
All right, well, we're going to have to start up another game because I want to play another Toreador. This is fun.
Right?
All right, so Elise is a Toreador. Music is her vice. And she is going to... I don't know what's going to happen here. It's really, I'm not ready to say goodbye to you.
So when we approached Margie to play this character, there was only one character that needed to be made because it was part of the season one campaign. It was the crazed Toreador. That's all the information was. There's a lot of toys in the particular room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And actually, it is like a continuation of the lore itself. But like, I didn't want to put somebody.
Love you.
But like, love you.
There was only one character that had to be defined, because this the only room that we ever talked about.
Right.
And to her credit, Margie just jumped in, and was like, "Yeah, let's do this." Want to give us a little bit of background about who you're playing at my table today?
So I am playing Militissa. She was purposely kind of opposite to Esther in season two. So Militissa is very comfortable in her leadership role of this group of mercenaries that have been put together. And she's really no nonsense. And Esther is kind of all about the nonsense. She understands the rules of the game, and she is more than equipped to play most of the time.
More than equipped.
Yeah, which is the opposite of Esther. Esther, you know, wasn't even supposed to be at the big party, but stole an invitation and ended up there. So I really wanted her to be the exact opposite of Esther in the
Esther's
season.
Esther's very seat of her pants.
Yeah, Esther, she's kind of like Anna that way, and I think that playing Militissa now has helped me see more of the differences between Esther and Anna.
Sure.
In a
like
weird
leadership
way.
Role yeah. compared to like support role.
Yeah, I really have. I have Militissa to thank for helping to me to further solidify and clarify Esther.
Remember, the main campaign, this was a little offshoot. I know there's a couple fans of this little series of ours, but like this all bleeds into season two. Mm-hmm. So if you love this, come join and you'll see why. We've been so painstakingly like threading through the narrative for everyone. And Letissa was a wonderful addition. I hate to see you go.
I know. A cigar-chewing, buzz-cut, unibrow warrior nun. It's brilliant. I love her so much.
When you wake up, I will tell you already, the unibrow will come back.
Oh, good. Good. Good.
Kai, he's our new player. And I'd like to say for the first time on the internet that Kai will be joining us for season two. That is huge. It's made my brain kind of explode to figure out how that happened. But, Sean, tell me a little bit about Kai.
So Kai is a gentle giant, I think, solely based on honor. I think he's surrounded himself with a great group of glorious monsters. And has built, obviously has previous relationships with them, but I mean, I think at this point, this is his team, so.
You know what, Kai? I will give this to you. This campaign forever will be called The Glorious Monsters.
Nice. I'll go back and rename everything. Let me make a note. I've already made 3 notes about things that need to be done, so.
The Glorious Monsters. This is what you guys are. It's a set between all of you guys, keeping everybody on balance. Keeping everybody to a certain stringent rule that you don't cross or you don't uncross. Yeah, the Glorious Monsters. This was the A-Team. The last day of the A-Team.
All right.
This is it.
Yeah.
So, by the way, storytellers, I'll give you a note. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of it all falls apart. Because what these guys are going to do in front of me is going to be awesome. Just let them know ahead of time. That being said, Roger, please, for the last time, tell me who you're playing today. I might have
it. Can I just add that the words of Robbie Ross ring in the words of Bob Ross? Happy accidents.
Hey.
Happy accidents.
Hey.
People used to make fun of me for Bob Ross, and I started watching Bob Ross, and I was like, yeah, go ahead and call me Bob Ross.
Yeah, make fun
of
me.
Yeah, go ahead. Happy Bob trees Ross. All day. Dude, his collection is worth so much money.
Yeah, I watched him most of my life. But for the game today, for the last time, I am playing Bogey. Is Nosferatu? By choice, investigator, originally a Viking, monster of Viking, who is ruthless, vicious, one of the most vicious Vikings, which is how he survived in a battle against Frank and his army. So, Bogey, he's got some issues. He's a worshiper of Fenrir, who is children of Loki, so sort of in that whole vein of thought in that way. But I think we're gonna see a different side of Bogey today.
Dun dun dun.
A little foreshadowing.
But Bogey has a very colored past that even Kai doesn't know about some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Bogey and Kai have been together the longest.
And I'll make very few appearances. My name is Rob. I'm your storyteller. This is what you get when you work really hard as a DM. Truly. These players have brought so much to your color palette. And the only thing you can do at this point is trust them. Because, exactly, just chuck it. You know what I mean? Because that's what you want. That action in real life is exactly what you want. Just throw away the things and just a bunch of people telling a small story together. And it doesn't matter if people watch. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't, because this means a lot to us. And I know it's I know that it's really difficult to run games because your mom's going to be speaking in the background and you're probably playing in a basement and whatever have you. But when you get a bunch of people together that just want to believe in something that's fictitious, you can really make something cool. It's not my storytelling, it's everyone around the table, and I want to say thank you, because look at the characters you've made.
I appreciate the break from the real world.
Yeah.
True story, right? Mean,
that's why I do RPGs.
All I did was make the backgrounds, and no one cares about the dripping from a stalagmite. No one cares about it. They don't. They just care about you. They really do. It's about Kai. It's about Melitissa. It's about Bogey. It's about Annalise, even though I couldn't pronounce her name in the first couple games.
I don't think you got it right there.
Just said it wrong now.
It's definitely Annalise.
We've come full circle.
We sure have, yeah.
That was perfect.
Let's get into the game.
It's a circle of life.
As you guys are walking up the gangplank, you can see this thing is like rattled, put together. It's a bunch of, like, you know when you go behind 7-Eleven and you pick up those like pallets, mm-hmm. like nailed together all the way across. You see big beams and like 4x4s going up, and the boat's going off. As you guys all walk off, there's only so much time before you can go in. Everyone said yes. You guys are waving at Frank, waving at Vol. You don't see Eddie. You know that you left him in the tunnel. But a familiar face does follow across you, Bogey. Old face. Long time ago. You think about the moment you caught Frank's eye as he was charging down. You weren't leading. There's another person leading the charge around. Salvador. Cell sword. Quick and clean. Deaths he made were quick. Always talked about his god of an ending glory. Another vampire. Few in the army. 4 in total. But the rest of the army were men fighting against a charge. That little too high of a crease of a crooked smile. The gangplank is literally like falling.
Yeah, we're walking up.
Keep going if you want to go. One more step. Okay, good. I blast from the past. Just see you, Wolf of the Evening.
It's been a really long time.
It's been an age.
Almost a millennium.
I have heard of your exploits. I believe this would be the 18th. Yes? Look at them.
I guess somebody calls us that.
I know. The 80s movies were pretty good, but...
Nothing compares to the real thing, right?
As you, like, bring up a cigar to your mouth. Mm-hmm. Beauty. I must say.
Thank you.
I mean, like, he looks at Kai, like, looks like he's short. He's a short man. He looks up and continues to look up. And you have this still one green and one red, like, eye patch.
Nice.
Yeah. And he specifically looks at the raven that's on your shoulder. What a wonderful expression of pain and death. But I look at you, Elise. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hey. So is he like the same height as
Elise? I already got a plane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but the accent makes up for it.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like, he definitely has the Energizer Bunny, like, presence, like Energizer Bunny King kind of thing going on.
Coming up it's the game that started it all for us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Check out some tabletop RPG action as the guys and gals of the Demolition Force are stuck. Can they get out? This is the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Action Figure Adventure is back with Season 2, and we're going further than ever before, checking out more toy stores than ever before, and seeing more incredible, iconic, and noteworthy pieces than you could possibly imagine. Once again, Jay grapples with how to build the ultimate action figure auction to support critically and terminally ill kids in need. Along the way, we'll chat about Holy Grail figures, perfect action figures, and showcase some incredible toy collections. Action Figure Adventure Season 2.
So is this just a murder room?
Everyone, I was just going to say, do we have to
this
kill each
other?
This
is just a torture room. This is
PvP?
Maybe. This is
red
the
team versus
the
blue
stick,
team?
You know?
I call
this
red.
This is how you okay, mess with someone's mind. You give them that inkling of hope that there is a way out. And we can keep testing and testing. And it's not until we give up on testing things. It's not like I know anything about torture.
How about we just give up?
There's only so many things we can interact with.
Mm-hmm.
We tried trying out, nothing works. There's only so many things we can interact with. And we've done it enough times that nothing seems to happen. That at this point, I seriously don't understand how we can get out of this, what we're supposed to do with it.
Yeah. We tried to kill our... Oops, we've tried personal death. We've tried up. We've tried down. We've tried side to side. Magic
works.
We haven't
tried death yet. I'm still pondering death. Oh, no, I used death ward. I could not die no matter what.
Now, also,
I continued to
those...
use my spells to keep me alive. Ever hit the ground.
But we had those voices that... rings a bell in Shamak Khan's mind.
Oh, yeah. I get it. We just have to kill Shamak Khan.
Okay.
Well,
sounds good to me.
Uh-huh. Oh my god, no. No, guys.
Balls come
don't
out.
Actually, listen to me.
Slit his throat.
Just before don't mess up my hair.
I am tempted to use like an
8th
level inflict wounds on Velma. See what happens.
No!
As long as I get to do Drotronic Spirit on a chicken bone first.
You could do it to Maddie. I've got 200 hit points.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I need to do it on someone who will die from the hit.
Oh, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll take the hit if I can do Draconic Spirit.
Otherwise, I have to punch you to death slowly.
Right.
The only other thing I can think of is number one.
Just kill someone.
Here's the thing.
Number one, dispel magic on the bars to see if that even works. Number two, cast Holy Weapon on Maddie's fists.
All right, I'm going to just walk over to the doctor.
Me and you can literally cast, at least I can cast, at will.
But I still want to kill people.
Yourself. We both can cast Alter Self and turn our hands into claws.
Cool.
Stop it. Can you hear me?
Yeah
I hear you.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah.
Who's in the cage? I'm asking.
Everybody.
All of us.
Everyone.
Oh, we're all there.
So, yeah, I got teleported back into the
who's
cage.
Inside this red area?
No
that's
one.
That's the table.
No, and that's just
it's
the table.
Guys.
Playing the table?
He can literally kill anyone with no repercussions. I got Revivify.
We don't have a diamond.
You don't have the diamonds.
I lost all my diamonds too.
Yeah, that's the problem with the murder idea.
Maybe this is a Tolkien limerick. Is this a cage in the sky? Is this a riddle?
It's some kind of riddle, but I don't.
Well, no, some kind of trap. But is the trap a riddle?
I already know the solution, and the solution is that there is no solution.
There you go. That's kind of the point. Well, I mean,
that doesn't make for very good broadcast. Let's hope that answer isn't true.
This is the end of the game. The entire party is just stuck in this cage.
This is it.
And the DM's about to hit us with the 10 years later.
This is the episode 100 through 200.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're stuck in this cage.
All of us stuck in this cage.
I need to know how much longer the time gap between that last battle and us being here.
I don't know, man, but I'm telling you.
Said it was at least a month or two.
No, that, I think he said it's longer because we got the other mask. Then
that's why
months.
I said at least. Yeah.
That whole
I really
fiery
don't know.
Sky thing, I would have like tapped Will on the shoulder and been like, "Hey, man, I don't know a whole lot about meteorology, but is the sky supposed to be on fire?"
Wait, is the sky on fire? I thought everything was just black, except for the glowing bars.
No. It was before we went in.
I think we were in...
Oh, yeah, we were in hell.
We were in the nine layers. We were in one of the nine layers.
We were in the ninth.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where Asmodeus lives.
I am not studied in the plane. So.
Me neither. I'm a druid.
But as a cleric, I'd like to think I know what hell is.
The only thing I studied at the Candle Keep was different forms.
You know, I also have planes. If someone could get me a tuning fork.
Oh, just need that.
But we would need a tuning fork that is tuned to...
Yeah, to the material. Frontier. We'd also only be able to bring 9 people.
Exactly.
Okay, so realistically what we know at this point, there is a voice, 2 people kind of arguing about...
Playing with toys.
...the situation we're in, playing with toys, and Shamat Khan has...
Obviously Shamat Khan has to talk to them. Call out Shamat Khan.
So we're in a toy box.
Sort of a connection.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh my god, we're in like Asmodeus' son's toy box. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think it falls on Shamat Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It falls on him. He's the one with the solution. He's just not telling us.
Yeah, we gotta kill Shamat.
There was some sort of a connection there.
So, quick question about this dimension, right? Can we reproduce there because we have males? We have females.
Oh my god.
No.
What if we just start fresh? We just start over with society, the cage also, society.
My god.
We have food. We have
water. Just to save time, the banishment thing doesn't work, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. That's all I need to know. It's all fake.
For a character development, how long between the last battle and us being in here? Was it months?
Know.
No. Fought the Iron Golems.
Oh, it was like 6 or 8 months.
Okay, oh, then. Man. We lost this important item then.
Well, that at least means I've been adventuring on and off with you guys for 6 to 8 months.
Yep.
Which explains how you...
Why I'm here.
Yep. Yep.
And, yeah.
Okay, here's a plan. Let's all just give up and just live.
Here. Hey, you know what? My next campaign, I'm going to play a therapist character because I'm going to make so much money off of people needing help after this.
Or at least this group's trauma. Just become the Demolition Forces therapist.
Are we worth about 200,000 gold. My goodness.
Yeah, the meals come at regular cycles.
Yep, no, at this point it falls on Shamat Khan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to fix this.
I got something else.
Meanwhile, we just accept our fate and start rebuilding humanity inside the cage. Right?
I'm still concerned about my hair!
We just eat our meals and someone finger combs Shamat Khan's hair so he's always contented.
Just prestidigitation, somebody.
Will uses druidcraft to make a flower crown. Yeah, everyone has to see at least that.
Are we...
Shamat Khan, can you give me a history check?
Here it comes.
Oh, if Shamat Khan's about to try and talk to them, by the way, I will cast Guidance. That is
Yo, awesome. I'm gonna sit there and lean on Shamat Khan's shoulder and kind of give him a little background on some certain different subjects that I, being a professor, know about, kind of try to give him advantage on that role.
Alright, there we go.
That work?
And Bardic Inspiration.
If you want.
Okay, let's do it. Let's
finally a roll.
Let's
here goes
get it
nothing.
All in there.
Okay, wait, so now what does he need to roll for? You guys are stepping on here.
Guidance is a D4.
He got guidance and advantage, so he gets to roll the advantage first.
And
so
D6?
roll their history check again.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna do it now. History check again.
Mm-hmm. Because you had advantage on it.
Okay.
Nice.
So D4. Yes.
Now roll a D4.
Isn't Bardically inspire him? I thought I heard that. What is the die?
D6.
D4 or D6?
Both.
1D4 and 1D6.
Alright, let's do it.
You roll both.
Nice.
Now 1D6.
And 6.
Oh, 29. My God.
You are at 29.
That's one away from godly levels of history knowledge.
Thamut Khan, after sitting for a while and thinking about those voices, because it's really bugging you that the voices sounded familiar.
That and my hair not being done for 24 hours.
Yeah, it comes to you. All of a sudden, it's like one of those things where you're trying to remember something and then you stop thinking about it and all of a sudden it just pops into your head. The first voice was Auden. And the second voice was Phelan.
Absolutely. I remember now.
That used to be with your group. As you guys are sitting around trying different things and it's not working, several more meal sessions go by. It starts to become mundane. And then another voice pops in. Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Unfortunately.
It's the voice of Duke.
I knew it.
Duke, get us out of here.
Why are you guys here?
Apparently, darling.
I wasn't told why you guys were here.
Apparently pissed off God.
Oh, you shouldn't do that. You should never do that. Yeah, this guy, he's got a temper. Yeah, I've been watching with the rest of the guys here, and you guys are getting boring. We're getting tired.
Boring? We've tried 25 things.
Yeah, but it's been 3 weeks.
I mean, we can't do without our magic gear here.
It's been how long?
3 weeks. You've been in there for 3 weeks?
Where are you watching us from?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a castle.
It's the castle.
Can't tell you that.
Can you tell us where we are?
Is it far?
Well, you're in a special place that Asmodeus made. Just for you.
Mr. Duke, I've been informed by a lot of the paintings at the bar that I ran, that you and Imbibe were great friends.
Yes. He's a really good guy.
If you are looking at us at this moment, is he also watching?
No, he's dead.
Yeah. So you're alive and watching us, but you're not a god.
No.
Is there a way to get out of here?
Can you help us out?
Yeah, we're gonna change the situation, because like you're getting boring. But we have a task we were given by the boss, the big guy, I like to call him.
I can't be General G'day anymore because we just saw him eaten.
Oh no, he's long gone. That really wasn't his name. I found out after I was working for him that he was really a dragon.
And, we saw that.
Yeah.
So he's not a dragon anymore.
Or do you?
He's a person. He was a pile of nasty stuff last time I saw him. So we have a task. And you're not going to like it. I'm not real happy with it, but I got to do what the big guy says, or else I'll wind up like Timmergloom.
Hey, I don't want that. What's the big guy's
name? Asmodeus.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw him really, really big, kind of hard to look at. He's really, really hard to look at. Ugh.
Yeah, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
But so we are supposed to make your lives hell.
Oh, fine.
Until he tells us to stop.
Hey, can we not do that?
Hey, Duke, I was always in the impression that you're a good boy.
I am, but I'm a good boy for Asmodeus now.
Roger.
But I was a friend. I was the keeper of your bar, the practitioner of the place that you would hold sacred for a lost friend. And I don't think that if you looked up to your friend, if you prayed, because you are a paladin, you talk to gods. If you reached out to imbibe, wouldn't imagine he'd want his bar maid and his practitioner of his bar to be stuck in hell.
Oh, you're not in hell.
Well, you said it's supposed to be horrible. That doesn't sound like him, at least the stories I've heard.
Well, no, yeah. Imbibe doesn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, it's Emosius.
I'm just trying to turn his gears.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games. Thanks so much again for joining us at the Pop Culture Cosmos for our final segment. It's time to relax, sit back, and catch a segment of the ever-popular Wizards of Wine. So listen in as DM Melinda drives her cast crazy right there at Wizards of Wine.
Hi, welcome to Wizards of Wine.
Oh, this is great. Yeah. So glad this is the views we get in here. Thanks, wife. That's right after macaroni. That's,
in the back of your head.
Yeah. Oh, no! Bastide!
Every angle.
I will pay for that later. So to add to all of the chaos, one of us is getting our feet massaged under the table. Well, we will not mention who, but it is happening. See if you can figure it out by the end of the show.
Stop drooling, man. Oh my god. It turned off.
Just rub your feet up and down that middle part.
Is that how you
and,
turned it
and,
on?
And eventually, yeah, you'll hear
the beat. Works for me, too.
I was going to say, it's got more than just one application.
Down until you hear the beat.
Right down the center. It'll be.
Yeah.
We are kid-friendly, folks.
Yeah. So, hi. Welcome to the show. We are Wizards and Wine, the Las Vegas table.
Last time on WW Vegas Edition, the Freaky Five are down a divot, so identify as the Freaky Fewer Than Five and find themselves in Bavlorna's cottage. Trixie eats another plate. Mary jumps in the water, per usual. The crew loots the first floor of the cabin on the count of Wudapa, finding little of value.
I forgot about that.
Remind me what Wudapa was?
We were going to cut a string or something at the same time.
Oh.
And instead of doing one, two,
yeah, that's right. It's important. 1, 2, 3 is now Wudapa.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know.
Got it.
Wow, we were off the rails a little bit.
Yeah.
Always.
We found little of value as far as we know. Mary does walk through a mirror and ends up back in the Hall of Illusions.
And all the way back to the carnival, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and then she came back. And that was that. After after miraculously remembering various things about Bavlorna, the Fewer Than Five crew heads upstairs.
Fewer Than Five.
We encounter some closed doors while Mary communes with Moose's spirit, sensing him above. It makes him sound dead, but he's not. Sensing him above, the crew heads to the third floor. Bevy finds some scrolls of insight or something like that. I don't remember now. I listened to it, but I don't remember. Bevy finds some scrolls while Mary calls for Moose. Mary retrieves her furry friend, who tells her all about his adventures in mouse speak. Bevy feels well-spoken for the first time in quite a while, and Moose indicates the party needs to go through the door. We follow Moose into the room, and Bevy feels a strong attraction to a bronze frog statue with a hole in the top, not for the first time.
Sounds great.
What?
Say it like that.
Right? Incredible.
He plays with the statue while, quote, trying to figure out what the hole is for. Bevy reaches in and retrieves a pipe. His attention transfers to the pipe. Les reaches in and finds a vial. Trix reaches in and finds a stick. that he wants to give to a divot.
We need to eat it first.
Yeah.
Bevy, stop me.
Bevy.
Of course. I mean, it's a gift. It's not a stick. It's a stick. It's just...
Sean, are you suffocating in all of the incense?
I really am.
Robbie, can you just...
I'm trying.
Thank you.
Bevy decides to light the pipe and puffs out an average-sized small dragon and receives his talent.
Nice.
Bevy attempts and succeeds to dismiss his unseen servant right as the servant writes don't. Mary catches a small shadow running across the ground and proceeds to get wrecked. You did indeed. The crew heads downstairs using tricks as a shield. The viewers enter the room.
I was battered with.
Literally.
And I was enlarged.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was a large battery.
Are you still large?
Because that wouldn't have been useful at all.
No.
In a boss fight? Nah.
Yeah.
The viewers enter the room and find Bavlorna and a man from the hot air storm balloon. We spot our fabulous Freaky Fifth and cut to black. And now, oh my brothers, let us step back into the road and lose our feet.
All right, Olaf.
Yay!
You must get down.
The eviction of the
get down!
Get down!
Get down!
Aww, we have very serious D&D things to do, my love.
The lab is a tumor. The lab is no place for you.
All right. So, Divot, we're going to start a little bit with you because we need to explain what the heck you got up to. So basically, you guys arrived on the doorstep of Bavlorna's cottage, and then, you went ahead of everybody and you scouted ahead. And you were actually the first to come across Moose. You saw him, he saw you, your eyes locked from across the room. It was a whole moment, it was a thing.
I think magic. I like to think a little, like little.
Yeah. He was very happy. He was very, very happy.
Nice.
And
a little Dawson's Creek moment.
He, for sure.
Crow.
Roll.
Yeah. So, it was a wonderful moment shared between two companions. And then he went off in to do his thing. Kind of understood that he is kind of having the time of his life in here. This is like Disneyland for Little Moose. And, you continue to very stealthily kind of go, you didn't really open every door in the cottage. There just wasn't enough time for you to do that because there's a ton of doors in here. But what you were able to do was figure out the location of that ward. And, you found her in this room. It's in the second floor in the middle towards the back of the cottage. And, she's just in there, with Charm. From the trinket shop that was attached to the storm cloud. That everybody packed their ropes in a way. Anyway, Charm is here in the room with Bavlorna.
Oh, you have a bunch of special rooms.
Good.
Sick. It's up in the rafters.
Just don't look at the screen for a second.
Because I know. Watch your eyes!
Oh!
The fly lands on your eyeball.
Oh,
God. No blinks.
Okay, I thought I
would. Or reaches
like,
up.
Right? Capture it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Right over. Yeah.
All right. I was going to try to show you a big picture of the bathroom because it's pretty badass looking to us, but I have a little money to do so.
Super cool.
It's
a 4K.
That's true.
Oh.
So there she is. Yeah.
It's like Gollum's sister.
She looks weirdly about to die.
Yeah.
So precious. Yeah. Mandy, you remember the giant lily pad that you were floating around on? Yes.
So she must be pretty light.
Well, I mean, it's a huge lily. But yeah, I mean, she's amphibious, so she definitely has some little things about her that are a little bit. So let me unpause the game. Not that it matters at all, but so Divot, here you are. We put you up in the rafters,
mm-hmm.
doing your stealthy assassin
that
stuff.
That thing I do.
Yeah, thought it'd be super appropriate. So you just heard Charm and Bavlorna just talking like like ladies who brunch. Like, it doesn't make any sense. They're talking gossip. They're, you know, just talking shenanigans. They're not, like, planning anything diabolical. Nothing like that. It's a very strange kind of reality for you versus the perception that you've had of that woman this whole time. And as you were kind of getting bored of this incredibly dull conversation over tea, the four other members of your party just kind of come tripping into the room.
Awesome.
And Trix was the only one that had the insight to look up and spotted you, and that is exactly where we're gonna pick up.
Oh my god.
Now you see me.
May not be a smart man, but I'm smart enough to know he's up there.
I just look down like, give me the look.
Fibered your diet, dear boy. Looking at phantoms in the rafters.
No, it's Divot. Don't look up. But he's up there.
I don't see him. Oh, well, you wouldn't get it.
Also, Divot, for some reason, your attention is drawn to Trix.
Oh, I forgot you had to use that.
Yeah. Your attention is drawn to Trix. Trix has something. You don't know what it is, but he's got something, and like, you got to get it.
What'd you do?
Right?
What'd you do?
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. That's definitely a thing for you.
I'm allergic to shellfish, guys. Just want to put that out there.
So, like, you're trying to focus back onto Valorna, but every time you start to get, like, back into their conversation, just something pulls you back to Trix, like, every single time.
Excuse me. Hag is the correct term, right? I don't want to use it in the correct
term. I believe that's what we were told.
Hag! We have come to give you your comeuppances.
My comeuppances? Yes. And why would you feel like I need to have my comeuppance? Won't you sit? Have some tea.
This is not going as I planned, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, sit. Have some tea.
Trix will have a seat. Grab a cup of tea.
Divot is looking at Trix.
I am puffing angrily in the sidelines.
Trix is trying not to look up at Divot.
Divot is still looking at Trix.
Just, like, one eye just keeps going.
Right.
And both my eyes are right there.
It's like I'm having a stroke or something.
Oh my gosh. I have, like, an herbalism kit and, like, good survival instincts. So I'm curious if I would be able to tell if there's anything wrong with the tea by, like, looking at it or smelling it or noticing the color.
It tastes fine to me.
The person in your party best suited for that would probably be Divot, with your experience with poisons and your assassin background, right?
Yes.
But with your herbalism stuff, you could probably, you may have something in your pouch that has like a, I don't want to say a neutralizing effect, because I think that's pretty powerful, but you definitely have something in there, like, you know how they make the nail polish now? You can go to the club and you put your finger in your drink, and if it comes out and it changes color, you've been drugged. Anyway, so you something along those lines where you can take, like, a little dried flower of some sort from your pouch and throw it in, and if the flower stays that color, then we'll say that you can tell.
Okay, so I'll sneak or whatever. I'll just, like, pop something in there to see.
I think you need a burning dwarf.
If I feel like it's safe. I don't trust you, lady.
Divot is staring at Trix still.
I don't even know why right now.
So I do have to say, I wonder, what brings you here today?
Stole stuff.
We forgot. We forgot. Sorry.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. If you ever have any questions on any of our tabletop RPG action, or you want to join and be a part of it, please let us know at popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. We'll catch you on the weekend with PCC Multiverse, where we're talking Super Mario Brothers possibly hitting $1 billion, Barry Season 4 on HBO and HBO Max, and more coming up this weekend on the PCC Multiverse.
So for everyone involved with the great tabletop RPG action, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the Pop Culture Cosmos. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Tangent Bound Network. Let your voice be heard. TangentBoundNetwork.com.
Thanks so much for downloading the Pop Culture Cosmos, and stay tuned as more great podcasts are on the way.
Thanks again for listening to us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.